Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services created specifically for the cooperative's member owners to meet the needs of rural America, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, point-of-sale financing, and risk management options, helping farm families succeed today and tomorrow.
From the Farm Progress Show in Decatur, I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It is the 30th day of August, a gorgeous day here on the Farm Progress Show site. Come out and see us tomorrow. Should be another fantastic day. Remember, we have shows up on the stage in the U of I tent at 10 o'clock and at 2 o'clock. Upcoming on this program this afternoon, we'll talk with Paul Giorgi. He's from Allendale, dropped in from Henry, Illinois, to talk about what's coming up in the marketplace and the Allendale survey. That'll be released on Friday morning. We'll try to cover that again during the Friday closing market report. A bit later, we'll hear about student recruitment by Illinois, Illinois State, SIU, and WIU as it relates to agriculture and the cooperation these state universities will be working towards over the next decade. And as we finish up our time together, we'll talk again with Bryce Anderson from DTN. He has some information about South American weather, and it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Either way, the numbers finished in Chicago for this Wednesday afternoon. September corn down 4 cents at 329.5. December 345.5, 3.25 lower. March down 3.25, 358.25. In the May at 365.75, down 3.75. July futures 3.5 lower, 372.25. Soybean September contract down 7.75 today, $9.23 the settlement price. November at 933.25, down 4. January down 3.75 at 942.75, and the March contract at 952.25. That finished the day 3.25 cents lower. Next year, July soybeans at 967.75, 2.75 lower. Bean oil up a nickel at 34.33. The bean meal down 220 at 292.40. Soft red winter wheat, July contract of next year at 478.5, down a penny and a half. The hard red at 479.5, up 2.75. Live cattle futures finished the August 30 cents higher at 105.55. The feeder cattle in the August at 142.90 were 30 cents higher for the day. September at 143.75, up 72.5 cents. And the lean hogs up $1.12.5 at $61.35 in the October. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. That's willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
Here are some of the other numbers as they're trading in Chicago for this afternoon. October crude oil at $45, down 45 cents. Ethanol futures at $1.48 and 9 cents, 2.5 cents lower. Heating oil is at $1.66 and 4 cents. That's about 0.1 cent lower. Gasoline on the RBOB is up 9.4 cents of a cent at $1.87 and 8 cents. That's the wholesale price. Natural gas down 4.4 cents at $2.93 and 9 cents of a cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 21,894 is up 20 points. U.S. dollar at 92.875 is up 0.691. And the gold futures for the day at $1,307.80, down $5.30. The weather forecast for this evening says we'll see a few clouds and we'll drop to a low of 60 degrees tomorrow. More clouds, a slight chance of a rain shower, though only 20%, a high of around 80. And then tomorrow evening, considerable clouds, a low of 55 degrees. By the time we get to Friday, things will begin to clear out, mainly cloudy skies, though, as the sun starts to peek through. 72 for the high brings us a low of 49 on Friday night, and finally sunshine on Saturday, a high of 79 degrees. Saturday evening mainly clear, and will drop to 56.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
This is the Closing Market Report. We're coming to you, of course, from the Farm Progress Show site. Another great day here in Decatur, Illinois. One more day left. You can come out and visit us at the University of Illinois tent if you'd like. We're at the corner of 3rd Street and West Avenue. If you actually come in the main gate, just hang a right, and we're about a block and a half from there. We're right across from the Hagies. That's those great big yellow and black and gray bug-like looking sprayers. We're really easy to spot. They're probably a bit easier to spot. One of the people that we talk to from time to time now joins us, came down from Henry, Illinois, I think. Paul Georgie is with us from Allendale. Paul, it's been a while. Thanks for being here, and thanks for coming up on stage with Orion this morning here at the Farm Progress Show.
Well, it's my honor to be here. It is a beautiful day, and if you're thinking about coming to the Farm Progress Show, you need to get it done this year because Mother Nature's given us a pretty nice weather to do it.
Yeah, on that note, Mother Nature has given us pretty variable weather across the United States, especially the Corn Belt. You're in the midst of taking a survey. Allendale does this from time to time. What are you asking farmers about?
Well, this is our 28th farmer yield survey, and we ask the farmers this about their yields because they know their crops better than all the tourists that come through the land and try to guess what the crop's going to be. But we ask them, how much yield are they expecting this year? How does that compare to last year's yield? We ask them, what do they think of as far as the crop's ability to withstand the frost, and what day do they think it is? And then we ask them, how much grain do they have left in their bin of last year to market? So we think those are some key numbers. We're going to release these results that we gather. Today is the last day of the survey. We're going to release the results on Friday morning at 7:30. So be looking for that.
All right. So I'll try to retweet out whatever probably Rich Nelson does from your shop, and maybe I'll give him a call and we can talk to him Friday afternoon on the Closing Market Report and see what that survey shows. So we'll find that out. In the mean space, producers are going to want to know what you think about the marketplace. They're really concerned about two things: old crop corn prices, because they have a lot of corn left. Maybe not so concerned about that left in the bin, if they still have it in the bin. I doubt that they're going to use it, but certainly in commercial storage. And then, of course, new crop prices. They want to know if they're just going to have to sell this across the scale or whether they need to store it in some form.
Well, I think what's happening this week and last week, we had a lot of farmers that had rolled their grain from May to our May contract to the July contract. Then they rolled it from July to September. And that is coming to bite them right now. And that's the pressure that we're seeing in the market. I think we can look for a lot of different things. But as one guy that I just talked to here at the Farm Progress Show said, don't you think we're having our harvest early? I think he's absolutely right. I think we're having harvest this week. We got guys that are taking grain to elevators. They're telling us that there's lines at these elevators that are longer than they ever seen at harvest. And then the reality is, once the farmers get their bins cleaned out, they're going to have plenty of room to put this new crop grain. And we're not going to have a bumper crop like last year in most areas. Even if we have an average crop, they're going to have room to store it. And that means this grain's not going to be coming to market until they feel like they need to sell it, and more than likely till next year. So there is some hope of a potential rally in here. Don't expect $5 corn, for Pete's sake. It's not going to happen. I think if you get a 30, 40 cent rally in corn, you need to take advantage of it. And the other thing is, you maybe need to be thinking about re-owning this corn that you're selling right now, because if we get a 30, 40 cent, that's going to help out on the bottom line a lot.
It took me a while to come up with the second harvest analogy you were working with there. I was thinking, wait, we're not harvesting corn, but you're just talking about the old crop corn that's coming in and big lines, and then not really having that second harvest sometime in November when we often do.
That's what I'm saying. It's not that we're harvesting corn. We're cleaning our bins out with our old crop, moving it all to town. Now we've got all of our bins empty, so we don't have to sell our new crop. And we may not see that until really late in the year this year, where we get pressure in the market because we have to move that corn to town. And there is going to be a later harvest because the crops got planted later. So that's a positive. That's about the only positive I can find in the grain markets right now, is that we're moving grain, we're getting it out, we're getting that grain in strong hands. And we used to talk, and I've been in this business for 30-some years. It used to be when the grain gets in strong hands, that's when it can go up. And I think that's kind of where we're sitting right now.
Now, for the soybeans, have the rainfalls that we've gotten in the last several weeks, in the last week in particular, been enough to help that crop along? And will it be as big as USDA has predicted in their August numbers? Of course, we'll find out more from them in September. Meaning, and I suppose I'm thinking, rather than BB-sized soybeans, will we fill the pods out? We have the acres, and do we have a crop that just is a big crop, potentially getting bigger?
Well, yes, I think the crop right now looks like it's getting bigger. And I think that's, these crop progress reports that we get from the USDA on Monday afternoons, those are, the way I call them, those are beauty contests. The crop is getting better, it looks better. That is the real question, Todd, is how do we determine if we're going to get a bigger yield or not? Will the beans get bigger? I was talking to a producer just this morning as well, and he was telling me about his beans. He said, I got beans shoulder high, but there's a lot of distance between the pods, and the top pods are not filled out right now. So we have time yet, but I think the beans are a bigger concern than we're giving them right now. So we're looking for some potential rally there as well. If once the combines start, that's when I think you can see some strength in this market as well.
So are you willing to wait that out? I mean, you're not quite certain about a potential rally, but once the combines start, we've got the potential for upside. How much downside risk? And you can pick your side here.
Well, I think the way we look at the analysis, our price outlook is a fair value for beans is around the 930 area for November beans. If we go below that very much, you certainly don't want to be a seller at that point. And if you're using the futures market and options, you get down into this range, you probably should be taking some upside protection, protect the potential insurance payments that are coming up here in October. How many times have farmers thought they're going to get a big insurance payment and then by October 31st, all of that is gone because the price rallied? So protect yourself. There's opportunities right now to do that.
Yeah. And that one always seems to be the more difficult one, because if something's going to be sold across the scale, it's going to be beans. They're going to be sold early in the system. And then in October, we may have a rally that takes out their crop insurance price.
And that's exactly right. I think at these price levels, you got to be looking more of how do I protect my upside. Even if it's a 50-cent rally, you got to think, if I think corn can go up 30, beans are probably can go up 50, just because of the relationship. So, and 50 cents in the volatility that we've seen in beans, that's not a very big move, but it is a lot of dollars to a producer that's got to sell his grain this week.
Paul, thanks so much.
Thank you very much for having me, Todd.
That, of course, is Paul Giorgi. He is with Allendale. Joined us here on the Farm Progress Show for this Wednesday afternoon. You know, from time to time, I talk to you about things that are outside of commodity agriculture, beyond the markets and the weather. One of the things I don't talk to you very often about is student recruitment. Here on campus, of course, we have a very large agricultural school. I'm a member of that school. You understand that. I work for the University of Illinois Extension. However, in agriculture, and I know this from experience, we have a real shortage in students. In fact, such a shortage that most everybody who comes through one of the universities in agriculture gets hired, and they get hired right out of school. It's a fantastic place to get a job. However, in the state of Illinois, we wanted to make sure that they stay put, that they actually stay here in Illinois. And what we know is if we can get them to go to school in the state of Illinois, that they're far more likely to stay in the state of Illinois, or even if they leave, that they're much more likely to come back. So we've gathered together the folks from Illinois and Illinois State and SIU, Southern Illinois, to talk a little bit about a brand new kind of recruitment that they're working on. For Santa Kalita is here from the University of Illinois and leads recruitment for the U of I's College of ACES. Prasanta, this is something we've been talking about for a little bit now, that not only do we need to recruit in Illinois, at Illinois, but we need to recruit across the state in the ag schools. That would include Western Illinois as well. Why do we need to do this?
Well, because our kids, we have good, our the quality of high school students from the state of Illinois are very high. They measure up very high, and other schools, other states are taking advantage of. They're stealing our good kids out there. So we are losing that work pipeline. And, you know, and I know from my experience, you know, the rural kids, you know, they are the future of agriculture. You know, not that we cannot bring the city kids, but many of them, they are there. They're hands-on. They will contribute significantly. They have a good appreciation and understanding for agriculture. And those are the kids we need to bring it. And we actually here at our university, we haven't done very well in last several years. We are not recruiting our students. We are not telling them what we offer. You know, all people look at that, oh, your tuition is very high, or your tuition is very high. That's not the only thing that students should be looking at. And not that we are not doing something to subsidize that. You know, for example, this year, within the last few months, we have created 54 new scholarships, and we will give two scholarships to each of the extension units in the state of Illinois, so they can recruit two kids from those 27 extension units to come to our university. So, you know, this is only one initiative, and then by that we can help our kids to bring to our campus. But we are, you know, we are in the last few months, there is an initiative between, you know, all the four partner sister universities out there, how we can do, what can we do collectively. And, you know, Rob is a lot more experienced than me. He has been participating in that. He gave a talk very recently at the Farm Bureau at the Bloomington, the roundtable discussion out there. Karen, Rob, and I and Andy from Western, we also talked about at the Illinois Soybean Board meeting at I Hotel. So, you know, there is a new kind of a synergy that's coming up between this, all the leaders from these schools out there. We are collectively going to develop some marketing plan out there. So let Rob talk about that thing, because I think they both know more about that than I can.
Rob Reichardt, of course, is the Department Chair of Agriculture for Illinois State. So tell me about these meetings and the kind of recruitment you're thinking about for the future.
Yeah, so Todd, just two things to follow up to. First of all, just the need to do this, and just to follow up, I think it's really two things. One is we have a net loss from Illinois of about 14,000 high school students per year going to college somewhere else. So that's a pretty serious loss. We're leading the nation in the number of high school students leaving the state. The other is with budget constraints. We all have real limitations on our campuses, so if we can combine forces, and I don't know that we can keep all 14,000 of those studying agriculture in Illinois, but if we can put a dent in that and keep them here, I think that's magical. We're looking at some unique opportunities. We're looking at combining forces and perhaps doing some recruiting out of state, even at some of the events in-state where we have materials representing all four of our institutions, the strength that each institution have. And when we recruit, what we're looking for, Todd, is matching up the right student at the right university. If we do that, they're going to be successful. If I get the wrong student at Illinois State University, they're going to struggle and have a difficult time. But when I get the right match, as we all do, that's when some pretty neat things happen with our students.
Karen Midden from SIU, it really is about matching up folks. Sometimes it's a geographical match. They just don't want to move very far from the area. Their kids coming out of high school are young. They're a little hesitant. Maybe they don't want to go too far. I would think at SIU, you're a bit farther away from the rest of the state, relatively speaking. Lots of places, you probably end up with some of that. But more importantly, it's about making sure that their interests are met at whichever university they happen to be joining.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct about that. And there's different factors we look at. One is making that match and the type of personality. We found, even though we're further down the state, we find that when students come and see the whole different environment in Southern Illinois, sometimes that attracts them just alone because it's more of the Shawnee Forest and the hills. But something else that we've talked about that I think we need to get that message across is, first of all, Illinois universities are strong. Just because there was a budget problem, I think that scared a lot of people away. They thought, oh, these programs are going to close. But we're not closing. All three of our universities, or all of the universities in agriculture, are still extremely strong. And I think another point that's going to help us in our future recruiting is the message we're saying is we are changing in what agriculture really is. It does affect. There are opportunities for people in urban areas. There's urban agriculture coming up. There's hydroponics. There's if you we're at the Farm Progress Show right now, if you walk up and down and see all the different types of jobs that would fit different types of sales or marketing, it's not just all the traditional ag. So education, public education of who we are.
On that note, the Chancellor of the University of Illinois was here this morning, spoke early about food and feeding programs. That's a big part of the University of Illinois, I suspect, and the College of ACES, or the Agricultural College. I suspect that happens both at ISU and SIU, along with Western Illinois University. So there's a broad perspective of places that kids might not think about that they can get into in agriculture that really works. You mentioned the Shawnee. I would think conservation and forestry are one of the really strengths that you might have.
Water quality. You mentioned the nutrition, the farm to fork. We have hospitality and tourism, event planning, agritourism. I mean, it is. It's endless.
And then when the kids come out of college, do they get jobs and do they get good jobs?
That's a great question. So yeah, the job market in agriculture continues to be very strong. A few years ago, near 100%, we've probably fallen off just a little bit from that, but still really strong, and especially if students are willing to relocate throughout the state, throughout the Midwest, there's a lot of really good opportunities out there for our students.
And not only that, but these are good jobs with really high starting salaries generally.
Very high, you know. We just recently looked at our average starting salary. The kids that graduate from our college is $46,056. So that's a very good, and you know, there's a quite big range out there. And like Rob said, you know, there are still many jobs that we can fill out there. And another question that you just asked, you know, this whole globalization, feeding the population, nutrition, health, I'm so optimistic about the future generation. These kids, you know, I compare my generation with the new kid. They are so passionate about, you know, you tell them, you know, if you work, if you do this thing, you'll be able to bring smile. If you'll be able to bring food to the families. You'll be able to solve their health-related problem. And I think collectively, between those four campuses, four universities, we have so much to offer and educate these kids to go out, you know, solve Illinois issues, U.S. issues, and the whole world issues out there.
So this is an important issue. I will tell you as listeners, if you have a child, a student, whether that's a daughter, a son, a grandson, a nephew, whoever it might be, and they're looking to go on to school into higher education, agriculture is a place that they can manage in all areas. If they want to be in the law, if they want to be in conservation, if they want to be in agronomy and direct agriculture, if they want to be in forestry, nutrition, all those places and many others, healthcare included, this is a place that you can start. In fact, oftentimes if you want to be a nurse and or you want to be a doctor, you can come through one of the agricultural schools and then go on to become a doctor. Not many people know that, but it's a great way to do this. Also, don't forget about the community college system in the state. Not everybody's ready to go off to a regular college, and you can send them on there. Now, given that, if you don't know where to start, start with me. I'm perfectly happy to send you along to all the right people in all the right places. And if you want to come to Illinois and, you know, talk to me and have them take a tour of campus, I'll do that as well. Glad to have you listening today. More from the Farm Progress Show in just a bit.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Since 1916, Farm Credit Illinois has been helping farm families succeed, providing farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing. Through both the prosperous and challenging economic cycles of agriculture, Farm Credit will support rural Illinois today and tomorrow.
It's National Toasted Marshmallow Day. The use of marshmallows to make a candy dates back to ancient Egypt, where sap was extracted from the marshmallow plant and mixed with honey and nuts. But it was not until 1948 that marshmallows were manufactured in a fully automated way. On this day in agricultural history in 1812, Augusta de Mocha was born. A Hungarian businessman, he imported 1,400 varieties of grapevines to California in 1862, and he planted the first large vineyard in California in the Sonoma Valley. After a devastating blight destroyed much of Europe's vineyards, some of the same vines now on resistant rootstock helped rescue the French and German wine industries. He is also considered the father of California winemaking. On the 100th anniversary of his death, the 91st Congress recognized his contributions with an entry in the Congressional Record that read in part, "In a very significant way, he put California on the nation's economic and gourmet maps." In 1935, Sylvia Earle was born, an American oceanographer. She was the first woman to serve as chief scientist at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the agency that, among other things, manages fisheries. And in 1939, Wheaties became the first cereal ever to be advertised live on television when Brooklyn Dodgers announcer Red Barber promoted it during a game against the Cincinnati Reds. And that's this day in agricultural history.
So yesterday here on the Farm Progress Show site, we visited with Bryce Anderson, meteorologist from DTN. Again, they're on 3rd Street, not very far away from the University of Illinois tent there at the corner of West Avenue. We told you that we'd talk again and discuss South American weather. He's here now. Thanks, Bryce, for doing this for a second day in a row. What do you see as you look into the South American growing season?
I'm pretty cautious, Todd, that they're not going to have everything come together like they did in 2016 and 17. A year ago, the rainfall pattern, particularly in Brazil, was just about ideal from start to finish. I mean, over a period of about 6 or 7 months. And so that helped to bring about a record soybean crop and a corn crop that was about 35% over the drought hit crop from 2016. Now, as we look ahead to the beginning of 2017 and 18, we know that South America is dry right now. That is that's a thing that starts or that happens every year. They have a dry season. I'm cautious that the start of their rainy season is not going to be as dependable and as timely as it was last year. So with that being said, I don't think that their soybean planting is going to get going as early as it did a year ago. The delay start to the soybean planting then means later on in the first part of the year 2018 that harvest is probably going to have a pretty good chance of being later than it was last year, this past year. That then leads to a later start to the second crop corn planting, which is the biggest component of the Brazil's corn crop. And then that puts the corn crop in jeopardy for dry weather stress when the rainy season comes to an end and the dry season begins. So with all of that balanced out, I don't think that the Brazil corn crop can be taken for granted to be as big as it was this year. And then that leads to a bit of a reduction in our world grain supply when we go into the first half of the year 2018.
What is it, or what time frame should we be looking for the rains to come into South America, into Brazil in particular at this time of year, to jumpstart that planting season for soybeans?
Middle of September is going to be a key time, and that's just in a couple weeks, basically. If it doesn't start raining in mid-September, then that's going to right away delay the start. And then we look to October. If October rains come, well then, there's a fairly decent time frame for planting to get going, particularly in Mato Grosso. But in 2015 and 16, the rains during planting season did not actually happen until late October and November. That set them back, and then they were kind of behind the eight ball all the way through, with the dry season starting out pretty much either on schedule in late May, early June, or just a little bit ahead of schedule. So that's that's coming up on a pretty important time frame. That mid September to mid October period of 4 weeks is a real key one as far as I'm concerned.
Again, thanks so much for being with us today. You can visit with Bryce Anderson if you'd like. He's on 3rd Street, not very far from our tent at the corner of 3rd and West Avenue. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great afternoon.